Okay, good evening, I'm going to say. Of Chelech Hanukkah, good Chodesh. It's beautiful to see this organization of PPM, of Achdus, not necessarily one shul or another shul, everybody together learning here. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's also nice to see some old friends here. I want to say thank you to Rabbi Katz, Barry Katz, who picked me up today, and Manchester's gain is London's loss. He used to be in London, and now he's in Manchester. And also other and the team that works here, it's just really lovely to see. Before I'll start what we're learning here, I want to tell you a ma'aseh that I had when I was 20 years old with Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner Zatzal. Rabbi Yitzchak Kuttner was a Gadol HaDor, and he wrote the Sfarim Pachad Yitzchak, and he was my father's Rosh Hashiva. And since my father was Nifter, unfortunately, when I was 19, Rav Kuttner Zatzal a little adopted me. Ktzat. And I used to have a kvias with them every third Thursday for over a course of 3 years. And asked the people that knew Rav Kuttner what it means to sit down for 2 hours every time with someone like Rav Yitzchak Kuttner. It's hard to explain it in words. It's spiritual therapy, whatever the words are. And I remember when I was starting to get close to him, I said to myself, I gotta come up with, I heard he's in Machshava, Hilchus Deus, Nechoevas Alvavas, Ashkofa, whatever it's called. I gotta prepare a shtickel Torah in Chanukah. He'll like it. So I remember it was a shtickel Torah with 8-9 questions. I remember it pretty clear today. And then one yesod that answers everything. The Yisrael was that Chanukah is not only celebrating that we were victorious over Yavon, that's Pashat, but that the Yavonim had a zero impact on us. We came out clean and clear, and the Torah did not change at all as a result of what the Yavonim tried to do. A perfect victory, that's what Chanukah is about. And according to that, I answered all 9 questions. And when I finished, Rav Kuttner told me the following. He said it in Hebrew, because we communicate in Hebrew. He thought I speak Yiddish, but at that age I didn't speak Yiddish. I remember the first time I came in, he told me, Famach Datir. I didn't know what Famach Datir means. I thought it's a bracha. I said, eh. He says again, Famach Datir. I said, V'chen Lemar. You should also be Zoicha one day, too. Famach Datir. He said, Atalom Dabar Yiddish? No? Wie kann sein? How could it be? You don't speak Yiddish. So we spoke in Hebrew. So I'm going to say what he told me in Hebrew. When I said that the victory was perfect, he told me, Bahai Lishna. And when Rav Kuttner spoke, you remembered. It's like you're in Maimon Har Sinai. Lo rak sheze lo emet, ze sheker v'chazav. No, Rav Kuttner, that's how he spoke. Universitat Bar Ilan hayom, ze lo biglal hayavonim? V'kol ha-tishtush sheyesh ba-ashkofes, ze lo biglal hayavonim? Eich efshar lagid sheyavonim lo yishpiyo aleinu? Eich efshar lagid kezeva? V'amachloket harishona sheyita b'chazav, im yesh smicha b'yom tov, ein smicha b'yom tov? כתוב בגמור, בחגיגה זה היה מפולמוס יובן. אדרבה, he says, the cash is for care. After the Yavonim had such a tremendous negative השפעה on us, what are we commemorating? What are we celebrating? Then he told me, you want to know what Chanukah is about? You can't just make up tyrus. Learn the Ner Mitzvah of the Maharal Mitrag. You'll understand Chanukah. That's what, so that's what we're going to do a little bit tonight. Taking some shtiklus of the Maharal and to try to understand what Chanukah is about. Okay, let's start. So as you can see in Bax Aleph on your sheet, on page 1, meaning maybe just a little introduction, there's 2 statements in English that seem to be very contradicting each other. What you see is what you got. There's a lot more that meets the eye. Isn't that a contradiction? What you see is what you got means what you see. Yes, what you don't see, forget about it. Disregard it. But then with the other point of view, say there's a lot more than what meets the eye. Ah, so it's not only what you see is what you got. How do you reconcile this contradiction? Let's see tonight if we could go through it. So, Bimei Matisyo in Bax Aleph. Bimei Matisyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Mubanav. Kesha'amta Malchusya ben Arash Alamcha Yisrael. La'ashkicham Teresecha ulavira mechukya Ratzonecha. What does it mean, La'ashkicham Teresecha? That we should forget the Torah. How do you cause someone to forget Torah? What button do you press? So what the Rambam says, Mishe'en Oloimet Shokheach. They closed Batei Medrash. They didn't want us to learn Torah. And when you don't learn Torah, you start forgetting. That's the way how to do it. And then it says, Ulahaviram Mechukei Ratzonecha, to transgress the will of Hashem, other mitzvahs. The question is, doesn't Lahaviram Mechukei Ratzonecha include everything? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants us to learn Torah. And by them, by the Ivanim closing Batei Medrash, we're not going to learn Torah. So what's the need to single out Lashkicham Terasecha if everything's included in the last three words, Ulaavira Mechukei Ratzonecha? This kasha is not mine. This is a kasha that Rav Huttner asks in the Pachad Yitzchak Maimor Gimel. And there's an answer that I told Rav Huttner Zatzal, and for a change, this one he very much agreed. And I want to share it with you today. It was definitely one of the highlights of my life to say something to Rav Huttner and he agreed. I'll show you soon. But let's call that question number one. Okay, let's go on. It says in the Tanchuma Pashas Nosoi, "Bayom Hashmini Nasi Livnei Menashe, Yelamdenu Rabenu." That's how the Medrash Tanchuma. That's its style. Chanukah Shotir Bashem B'Yom Rishon. If there's oil left over on the first day, Ma'olat Likla Bashini. Could you use the oil for the second day? Kach Shenu Rabatenu. Ner Chanukah Shotir Bashem B'Yom Rishon. If there's anything left over on the first day, Mosif Alav Kol Shu Madliko B'Yom Hashini. Yeah, add a little fresh oil and you could use it. Ve'im otir b'yom sheini, mosif lav yom shli madigo. Ve'chem b'shar yamin. It's all the other days as well. And then, without batting an eyelash, says the Medrash, lo yomar adam, a person should not say, eini mikayem mitzvah skenim, I'm not interested in observing the rabbinical mitzvahs. Ho'il beinam in the Torah. They're not written in the Torah. How many times did you hear that people saying, I don't want to do what the rabbis say. I'll do what's written in the Bible, not the rabbinical stuff. So the Medrash is speaking about it. Not only a person shouldn't do that, he shouldn't even say it. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bonai, Ein atem reshaim lomar kach. Don't say that. Ela kol ma shegozrim alechem tiyu mekayimin. Whatever they decree upon you, you should fulfill. Shenemar v'asit al pi haTorah sheruha. Lama? Sha'af al divrehem ani maskim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I agree to whatever they say. Shenemar v'tig za'orma v'yakom lach. Teita lecha. The Medrash is being a very interesting raya that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to what the rabbis say. Sha'ei Yaakov, here Yaakov is going to be fulfilling a role of a rabbi, so to speak. B'sha'a shibirich Menashe v'Ephraim makisim sham v'yasem es Ephraim b'fnei Menashe. Yaakov decreed that Ephraim comes first. Asa ha'katan kodem la'gadol. He said the younger one should come first. V'kiyem HaKadosh Baruch Hu gzerosa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heeded his decree. A Masai, when? Bekobonas HaNisim. In the inauguration of the Mishkan of the Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who dictated the order. And what happened? Shekriv Shevet Ephraim T'chila. First came Shevet Ephraim. Shenemar b'yom HaShmini, Nasir b'nei Ephraim. Hakim Menashe b'inai Mashkasu b'inim b'yom HaShmini, Nasir b'nei Menashe. Interesting Medrash. How do we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to what the rabbinical decrees are made? Yaakov Avinu made a decree that Ephraim should come first, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed. Okay, how does this have to do with Chanukah? It's the same paragraph, literally, that speaks about Chanukah. If there's oil left over, what do you do with it? The next day you add, blah, blah, blah. But you got to listen to rabbis. Is this a Chanukah thing? You could say, yeah, because Chanukah is a rabbinical moed. But that won't be enough, because also Purim is a rabbinical moed. And it wasn't said regarding Purim. So there's something about Chanukah that says about the koyach of Torah Sheval Peh, the koyach of the Chachamim. That's what you see from this Medrash. You also see it from the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara asks, what bracha do you make in Ner Chanukah? Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah Mitzivanu Ladlik Ner Shel Chanukah asks the Gemara a very fundamental question. Ve'heichan Sivanu? Where, it's not written in the Torah. Answer the Gemara. Shal Avicha Ve'agetcha Lotasio Minu Smol. Good question, good answer. But the editor of the Gemara, meaning Rav Ashi and Ravina, decided that this question and answer should be displayed on Chanukah. There's mitzvahs derabbanan which preceded Chanukah by hundreds of years. Megillas Esther. Netilas Yadayim Shlomo HaMelech was metaken. How come the Gemara didn't ask it on that? Why did the Gemara wait for Chanukah to bring out this point? How do you make betzivano? How do you say betzivano on a rabbinical mitzvah? The answer is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees to it. Why was this played out on Ner Chanukah? So if Ner Chanukah would have been the first rabbinical mitzvah, fine, but it's not. I guess there's something Chanukah-dick about this whole question and answer. And that's again the Gemara decided to play it on here, like you see in the Medrash Tanchuma. There's something about Chanukah that brings out that you got to speak about the Koyach of Torah Sheval Peh. The Koyach of Chachmei Chazal, of the Chachamim. What is it? Okay. So that's question number two. And question number three, like as Rafutna told us, to learn Ner Mitzvah. Ner Mitzvah is the shortest sefer of the Maral Chevra. It's about, in the old print, it's 32 pages. Chanukah is 8 days. 4 days, 4 pages a day, you got it. There's a lot of people that do that. Chanukah is the more popular sefer because Purim is not 32 pages, but 180 pages. And Purim is only one day. Half of the day you're drunk. So if you meet anybody that learned the sefer or Chodesh, take his autograph. It's Mamash Lo Matsui. But Ner Mitzvah is Matsui. Okay, but anyway, let's go on. Says the Maral Ner Mitzvah in a very uncharacteristic way. He usually doesn't speak this way, of gematrius. I'll throw here and there one in a blue moon. He's going to give us four gematrius, one after another. Gematrius, numerical values. That's not usually his style. But okay. Says the Maral in Bax Gimel, Ki ha-yivonim hayu mitamim es ha-hechel. The Yevonim defiled the Hechel. The Hechel is the part of the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohanim walk there. Shekach koch Yevon miyuchad litgaber al ha-Hechel yoter mikol ha-umos. They're the ones that have that ability to defile the Hechel more than any other nation. V'siman ha-davar, I'll give you a hint. Hechel, ole l'mispar samachay. Hechel, right? 5 and 10 and 20 and 30. It's 65. V'yovan, mispar samachvav. 66, 65, it's a close call, but 66 wins. That's like how Yavan could defile the Hechel. They have an edge over the Hechel. But, ולא נשאר רק פח אחד קטן שהיה מונח בחוסם של כהן גודל. כי כהן גודל יש לו קדושה על קדושה. כי כהן גודל נכנס לפניים ולפנים. הקודשי. וזה קדושה על קדושה. ומצד זה אין ליוונים כוח על ההיכל. There's an element of Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Hechel that the Yevonim cannot touch. HaKohen Sholet Af Al Kodesh HaKadoshim Shari Kohen Gadol Nichnas LeKodesh HaKadoshim LeKach Kohen Hu B'Mispar Hechel Im Yud Ne'elemet. Remember, a little words are missed out here, but it says the word like this, that the word Hechel under the Hey is a Tzere. Tzere is called in Digduk Tnua Gdoila. In the Ashkenazi pronunciation, there's a yud, a hidden yud in every tzeira. So you say heichel, in addition to the yud which is already there. So that upgrades the heichel from 65 to 75, says the Maral. And that is the numerical value of koyen. Koyen is 75. So let's go over these gematrias. Heichel is 65, the letters which are seen. Yovan is 66, so they could defile the heichel. But there's a hidden yud in the Hechel, which is pronounced, you only hear it when it's pronounced, Hechel, and that upgrades Hechel from 65 to 75. And 75 is the numerical value of Kohen. Makatufo. What does this mean in simple English? I don't think we'll have time to explain everything because I was told that today I'm supposed to go till 11:35. Haha, you got scared, huh? Okay, good. But we'll try to explain what it means that Kohen's gematria is 75. That we'll try to explain. Okay, so question number three. What are these gematria? So we have Rabbi say three questions. Why Lashkicham Teresech was singled out on its own? It's a prat and then a klal, so just say the klal. Lehavir mechukya ritzanecha. That's question number one. Question number two, why is Chanukah about the power and the ability of Chachmei Yisrael to make decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will agree with. We saw the Medrash Nechuma, the Gemara in Shabbos, which is not brought down here. And then, number three, the Gematris of the Maral. Rabbi, so let's get into it. What did the Yevonim want? What did they really want? So the Ramban here is in, it doesn't say where it is, it's in Vayikra, Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches is a very long Pasuk, the Ramban, about Seir La'Azazel. And then towards the end, after like 2-3 pages, says the Ramban what's written here. It says Vayikra Tetzayin, Pasuk Ches. Hayivani, the Greek philosopher, Aristotle. Asher hikhish kol davar zulati amurgash lo. He denied everything but the tangible. V'higis ta'ato lachshov. He was conceited to think. Hu v'talmidav ha-reshaim. Him and his wicked disciples. Ki kol inyan shelo yisig elav besvarato. Enenu emet. If I cannot understand it, that means it's not true. I'm the base to decide if it's true or not. And if it doesn't sit well with me, that means it's not true. Meaning Yavan are saying that if it's tangible in the physical way that you can see it or touch it, and tangible intellectually that I can understand it, then it's good. Then it's valid. But if it's something that you cannot see or you cannot understand, it's not your problem. That means the issue itself is incorrect and false. That's how the Ramban describes Greek philosophy. As a result of that, the Greeks have one war against us. Their war is, how could you connect to a God who's untangible? How could you connect to a Kodesh Baruch Hu she'ein lo guf ve'ein lo dmus haguf? The only thing that counts is tangible, scientific. You can prove it in a lab. You can't prove a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a lab. So therefore, that's what they wrote us. Give a look in the box. Hey, what does the Medrash say? V'choshech ze golus yovan, sheikhshich einem sheyisrael v'gzerzein, sheyta omer lehem, kisvu al keren ashor, ride on a horn of an ox. Interesting writing material. She'ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. You don't have a share with the God of Israel. Meaning, why dafka to ride on a horn of an ox? Why not on a piece of paper or on wood? Why a horn of an ox? Says the Maral in the Ner Mitzvah, and I'll say it orally because I want to make sure we'll finish. They are goring us with Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel is called an ox. It was a calf. A calf comes from the family of an ox. David HaMelech calls Chet HaEgel v'yamirut kvodam v'shol ochel esev. What did they want specifically from Chet HaEgel? More than Chet HaMeraglim. What did they want? Why did we do Chet HaEgel? The Rishonim explained, the Ramban, the Kuzari, because we needed something tangible. Moshe Rabbeinu died, so who's going to now show us the way? So the Yevonim are saying, you see, we're right. You could only connect to something tangible. Why did you do the Egel 50 days after Matan Torah? Or 40 days after Matan Torah? How? Because you're human beings, and human beings could only connect to something tangible and noticeable that you could see and touch. So you're like us. Of course, our answer is, it is a human weakness, but we're not going to make a policy out of it. It's a weakness, and we should fight it. So the Yevonim are the ones who are coming to say, you cannot connect to a God that you cannot see. That's their goal. Ein lechem chelek b'elokei Yisrael. I'm going to skip the next two boxes because I want to make sure we're going to finish. So what's the nekuda that's happening here? The Yevonim are the ones that are saying, what you see is what you got. The part of the Heichel that you could see, the four letters, yes, they're going to defile it. They have access to it. But there's something hidden in the world, namely HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that they don't acknowledge, and consequently they're not going to defile it because they don't acknowledge it. Meaning, The physical world is always brought out through the number 7. Bring me a raya. Why is the number 7 the physical world? What?
7 days.
7 days of the Kriya, of the Bria. And what is beyond the seven? What's supernatural? What number is that? Eight. The Ivanim said you cannot connect the seven to eight. The Kohanim, I'm going to go skip a little bit about Kohanim. Their whole essence is to be the mediator between the number seven and number eight. Namely, to take our korbanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to bring Birkas Kohanim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. So Barry, you're a Kohen, right? A Kohen is that intermediator. The Gemara says, Shluchi Didan, Shluchi Rachmana. And the Marsha says over there, Kiddush, and he's both. The question is just, what more? What's more? So the Kohanim are the ones that are supposed to take the world of Teva, which is number seven, and hook it on to a higher level. To a certain degree, all of us are like that. We're all called Kohanim. So someone that his job is to connect seven to eight and eight to seven, what number would you give him? Seven and a half. Says the Ramah, that's like I'm Kohen is 75. Because whenever it's times 10, it's the same idea, just more. The Goyim are Anshe Teva, there's 70 Umois, and they have Sheva Mitzvahs. 770, 700, 7,000, it's all the same. 880, 800, it's all the same. When the Maral's telling us that the Kohen's Gematria is 75, he's not just throwing numbers. Their goal is to connect the physical to the spiritual. And the Yevanim are the antithetical to that. No, there's nothing what to connect. What you see is what you got, and beyond that, there's nothing. So that's a Kam Chanukah was done through Kohanim. Is it a coincidence that was done by Kohanim? Or is it a random thing? It's obviously the Kohanim. No, we make a big inyan out of it that's Kohanim. When we light the candles, we say, Aner salalu anu madlikim, aliyadei kohanecha hakadoshim. If it's not important, why are you saying it? Do you say they had blue eyes? Or they were 6 foot one? We're pointing it out to Kohanim because Chanukah is about the struggle. Is it what you see is what you got? Or is there a lot more than what meets the eye? And Am Yisrael always says, of course there's a lot more than what meets the eye. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the most important thing and you don't see him. So first, let's go then into it. So where do we show in the clearest way that we could connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even though we cannot be seen? What activity that we do illustrates this point in the clearest way? What would you say?
Pray.
I'm sorry?
Pray.
Mitzvah. Every mitzvah has to do, it's called Tzavta, it's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shulchan Aruch says the word Tzavta comes from the word mitzvah Tzavta. Tzavta, like, it's also the English word staff, to get together. But what is the epitome that you're down here and you're connecting to up there? And this Besmedrash, PBM, is all about it. Torah Sheval Peh. What's Torah Sheval Peh? When Moshe Feinstein is sitting in New York and he has to decide, are you allowed to have an Erev in Manhattan? Yes or no? What is he really dealing with? So the simple level is that there's the Sheet of the Goyim, the Sheet of the Prima Gadim, and then there's this, and he has to decide through that. But if you go a little bit deeper, what is he really dealing about? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want an Erev in Manhattan or not? So you could ask Ramosha, are you a Navi? He'll say, no. Are you a son of a Navi? Also no. How on earth could you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? How do you do that? Because he swallowed such quantities and qualities of Torah that he understands how HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinks. And when you could understand how the other party thinks, that is the epitome of unity, of connecting. It's yadua. If a couple, if they understand each other, if one understands how a spouse thinks, that's the ultimate. Today we live in a world that even when they talk to each other, it's a big chiddush that they understand each other. That's a big chiddush. They're talking the same language and they understand each other. Phew, what a chiddush. But the higher madriga is that you understand the shtika of the other party. I once came to a shiur of Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal. Now, Rabbi after Rav Hutner. Asar Batevis will be the first year that he's Nebuch away. And I had a voice-activated tape recorder. You know what it is, voice-activated? It looked like a regular tape recorder those days. You know, the young guys don't know. It used to be once cassettes and so on. It used to be. And there's a voice-activated thing. And I was playing with the button. So Rav Moshe asked me, why are you playing with the button? I said very proudly, it was new, it's a voice-activated tape recorder. He says, what does that mean? I said, it just records when the Rebbe talks. When the Rebbe is silent, it doesn't record it. He says, so the silence won't be recorded? No? So Rav Moshe said, very him, החלק העיקרי של השיעור יהיה חסר. The main part of the shiur will be missing. The Chachmei Yisrael, Rabbi said, we don't have time to go into it. They're the ones who understand the shtika of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to talk to them. The Gemara says in Bobasa Daf Yud Beis, Chacham Adif Minavi. Says the Ramban, you know why a Chacham is preferable than a Navi? Shiyoidi Mesa'emes Beruach HaKodesh Shebekirbam. They figured out on their own. Anybody who had an opportunity of getting close to Gdol Yisrael knows how true this is. They figure it out on their own. A Navi has to be told from outside. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was silent, where is he? The Gemara in Yuma, Ayik V'Roysav, Ayin Roysav, where is he? Anshei Knesset Gdol are the ones that understand. To understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shtika is the ultimate chibur of any relationship. And that's what Torah Shebal Peh is all about. The Yevonim that waged the war against connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Rabbi Yaakov Hila was by our Besmedrish last week, and he pointed out, Kesha'amda machus yavon arash al amcha Yisrael, lashkicham Torah secha. Why can't it say lashkicham Torah? Why not Torah secha? Every time you say the word Torah, you say Torah secha? He says, because that's what they're fighting about. Could you use Torah as a vehicle to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Yevonim said, you cannot. You cannot connect him. You don't see him. He's not tangible. And the Chachmei Torah Shebal Peh are the ones that are saying, not only we could connect them, we could understand them, and his Gdusha will be chal on us. What does it say in Rosh Hashanah? Noe l'kodesh peh b'gdoshim. But it was like, for ki magdishecha b'gdushoscha kidashta. The Chofetz Chaim was a holy yid. How? The Gdusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chal on him. You can have such a relationship with that HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his Gdusha will be take place on a human being, flesh and blood. The Chofetz Chaim was a malach, he wasn't a regular person. Where did they come from? He learned enough Torah that he was, boom, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki magdishecha b'gdushoscha kidashta. The Yevonim are totally against that. You cannot connect them. How much more so you cannot understand them? How much more so you cannot really unite with them? They denied everything which was not tangible. So the main wage, the main milchama of the Yevonim, that was against other mitzvahs, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Shmila, a score of mitzvahs. But they had a special war against Torah Shebal Peh. So this, when Rav Hutner asked, how come Lashkicham Torah Secha is said on its own? I remember I was 20 years old then, and I told him. I said, I think Rosh Shiva, I got an answer. You know how come it says Shikha on its own? Yeah, yeah, why? And Rosh Shiva asks it in the mimer. He said, yeah, yeah, I know what I wrote. Yeah, I asked it. Uh-huh. Yeah. No. Shikha is something that only happens in Torah Shebal Peh. Rabbi said, it's a Rafael Shekmar brought down here. In Bax Yud, look it up later, you'll see. It's a Gemara Kiddushin, black and white. Remembering and forgetting is something which is not here. It's not in front of you. If it's a book, just open the book and you'll see. The Gemara Kiddushin, that Samach Vav with Aleph says clearly, there's no Shikha in Torah Shebuksav. You forgot, open up the Sef, you'll see. When it's Torah Shebal Peh, there's Zikaron and there's Shikha. Like the Maral says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, how can we say may Zichrono Lebracha only in someone who died? Why can I say the following sentence? He should live to 120, may his memory be blessed. Why not? Says the Maral, because when he's alive, he's not a memory. He's here. Never when he died, even if he's in Australia, take a plane, he's there. when he died, he's not here anymore. So then when he's not here, you got to remember him. Memory or forgetting is only on something which is not clearly here. That's Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is oral. So you know how it says, La'ashkicham Torasecho La'avir M'chukei Tzanecha? Why was it singled out? Because by the Yevonim it was singled out. That's the most exact description of what they did. Let me give you a painful example from our history. If I'll say the following sentence, which is pretty accurate, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, had a war against the Jews and the whole world. That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate what happened there. Someone will ask, well, if you say the whole world, why do you have to single out the Jews? Just say they had a war against the whole world, Jews included. It's not a kasha, because they had a special war against Jews. And then they fought everyone else as well. If you're going to just mention the Jews and not single them out, that won't be emes. They had a war against Am Yisrael, specifically, and in addition, a war against the whole world. But that's the most accurate way to define it, against the Jews and against the whole world. Similarly with Yavan. They had a war against Torah Sheba'al Peh, and they had a war against all other mitzvahs as well. But single out Torah Sheba'al Peh, because by the Yevonim it was singled out. And therefore the word, since La'ashkicham Torah Secha, is referring to Torah Sheba'al Peh. Torah Sheba'al Peh, again, is the 7-8 connection with your human brain. You were born from a woman, a human brain, and you can figure out what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. That's unbelievable. That connection of 7-8, of physical and spiritual, that's also what Torah Sheba'al Peh is about, and Kohanim, and everything, it's all about, it all connects. Boy, say, when Yaakov Avinu made Ephraim before Menashe, how do we see that a Kodesh Baruch Hu agreed? Because he sent Ephraim first and Menashe the next day. Now it has to be consecutive day after day. If Ephraim would be on day 1 and Menashe will be on day 12, that's not called he preceded him. They're separate. It has to be consecutive. Day after day, Ephraim beat Menashe. Ephraim was first. So it could have been day 1 and 2. Day 3 and 4. Look at the Medrash. Which days were they? When did Ephraim bring his korban, and when did Menashe bring his korban? 7 and 8. B'yom Hashvi, b'yom Hashmini. Look how geshmak Torah is. The Gilui of Torah Sheba'al Peh started on the 7th day, but we have to wait till the 8th day to see what's going to happen. Because if Menashe is going to be on day 11 or 10 or 12, that's not called he preceded him. There's time there. Nisparda Chavila. They have to be day after day. And what are the 2 days? 1 and 2? No. 3 and 4? No. 5 and 6? No. 7, 8. These are the 2 days that Kodesh Baruch Hu chose to show that he's Mekabel the Gzera of Yaakov Avinu. Again, this Nakuda of connecting the 7 to the 8. Libi Oymali, the Kasha of the Beis Yosef, we should have 7 candles only in Hanukkah. The answer is we're supposed to have 7.5. We just can't have half. That's going to be doing 8. Just think about it. I'm sure it's also a teretz. So what I want to conclude is, so what is Hanukkah about? Hanukkah is reminding ourselves, not what I said, that we won and we weren't affected at all. That Rav Hutna said is Sheker B'Chazav. Hanukkah is about to understand that they're saying what you see is so much more important. And we're answering back, Lo Nachon. Rabbi said, I want to bring a few examples from day-to-day life to show that us from Jews, let's be honest, we are victims of the Greek outlook. And you got to work on yourself to make sure that it will happen. I'll give you an example. In a family, a daughter got engaged. Mazel tov, mazel tov. There's a, what?
Mazel tov.
Yeah. And then there's an engagement party tonight. Mazel tov. And they need people to schlep the tables, bring their chairs, you know. And they have 2 sons. One learns in a yeshiva. One is a successful lawyer. Which son are they going to call up at 4:30 in the afternoon and say, come help? The lawyer or the yeshiva bachur? And let's be brutally honest. Not the yeshiva bachur. Why not the lawyer? He's making money. £400 an hour. Uh-huh. And the yeshiva bachur? No, but David Malch said, Now, Al-Fizal, like I said, it's a song. It's not for real. No, I'm sorry. I can't take questions now because I don't have time. Afterwards, Bakasha. He could learn later. Also, the lawyer could work later. No, but that's different money. So also the Torah is different. I can tell you, my job in Chinuch, daily I have this. That when something has to be done, who's the first one called in? The one who's learning Torah. Do you know that in New York, about 20 years ago, there was a strike of those who were digging the graves? The diggers, I don't know how to call them. The diggers. And people never were dying. Nobody was... Halonis HaMes. Bizarin HaMes. So the Chevra Kedisha called up Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, the Rosh Hashiva of Mir, and said, you know, you have a Shilabachim. Could you help us? Could you tell him to come dig the graves? So Rav Shmuel Birnbaum said, for sure. But did you first go to Wall Street and see who you could get there? And if you're lacking anybody, then come to me. Don't come to me first. The first thing? Yeshiva Bachim, it's cheap labor. Come on, come dig graves. And what about the lawyers and the doctors and the accountants? No, they're working. Where does this come from? Yavan. Chava, it's Yavan. I'll tell you a story. My wife's from Brazil. I was once in São Paulo. She's from Rio, but I was in São Paulo. A big veer was doing Chanukah Zabais. I met him before Milcha Marv. He says, you know, I need mezuzahs from Eretz Yisrael. Do you know Seferim? They could give me mezuzahs. Yeah, I know. I have a few friends who are Seferim. Then I was living in Eretz Yisrael. How many do you need? 50. 50? Wow, for one house. That's pretty good. Chamishim Shari Bina. That's a chazal. How are we going to get 50 here? I asked him. No, well, FedEx said, no problem, I'll pay for it. Okay, and I want good mezuzahs. Fine. He asked me, by the way, I forgot to ask the most important question. How much did they cost? This is going back 25, 30 years ago. I said, a good mezuzah? Yeah, good. $50. Today it's much more. That's always that. He tells me, $50? No, I'm not interested. I could get here in São Paulo for 20. Okay, fine. You approach me, I didn't approach you. Fine. So, no mezuzah. What? But something bothered me. Then I wasn't yet English. You know, then I was more Israeli-American, which, as you know, is the worst combination. Once you come to England, it took me 5 years to chap that when an English guy tells you very interesting, that means he disagrees. For 5 years, no one told me that. I thought very interesting means, yeah, he agrees. No, I found out afterwards, that's how they say here, we disagree. Okay, so I went over to him after Marv. He already forgot. I said, I told him, you know, my wife's an architect, which is MS. I'm just curious, what did you pay for the handles of the door? Each door has two handles. He says, you really want to know? Yeah, it was Italian made. It's $200 a pair. So I ask him, why are you willing to pay $200 a pair for handles and only $20 for a mezuzah? Tell me, why is that? Obviously, he didn't like that question. He says, why should I pay more? I could get it for $20. Why should I pay more? I says, you could get handles for $10. So why are you paying $200? I don't think it's a fair comparison. And walked off. But usually when someone says that, that means he doesn't have anything with the answer. I'll tell you the answer. Handles you see. Everybody will see the gorgeous handles. The mezuzah inside, no one sees it. So it's kosher, good enough, I don't care. By the way, the backs of the mezuzah will be silver again. Because that you see. Where does this come from, Chava? Where does this come from? That if it's seen, it's important. And if it's not seen, this is Yavan. This is a direct consequence of what the Ramban defined of Yavan. And Chanukah is, we got to fight this. It's a human tendency. The Mesiyas Yisharim brings it up. It says it's a human tendency that we're more impressed with the tangible than the not tangible. How easy is it for us sometimes to cancel a Tefillah B'Tzibur? I'm busy, I'm sorry, I'll daven Minchat home. How did you tell me today? MH? There's a besmanish called MH, Rabbi Katz, which means my house, and it means something else. I'm sorry, you know, but you're having a meeting with the king. Isn't that important? It's okay. I'll down in the kreisel, my private kreisel at home. Well, why? Because I have important meetings. I can't have in a minion. Really? So how come Nebuchadnezzar, when a person has to say Kaddish for 11 months, then he does somehow find a way to daven a minyan? What happens then? Did you ever hear that people who say Kaddish became poor? Poverty struck those who were saying Kaddish? Did you ever hear that statistics? No, it doesn't happen. So why can't it be the whole year round without saying Kaddish? Lamano. I sometimes think to myself, what am I telling a Kaddish Baruch Hu if I'm only going to come to the minyan and I say Kaddish? What am I telling him? That you have to kill one of my parents to make me come down? Otherwise I'm not going to come? Ma, tell me a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You know, I'll tell you what I'm going to say. I got a mother, Kananu, 87 years old. I want to make a Hidoah Barabim in Manchester. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I promise you, I'm going to daven in Minyan as whenever I could, Shechris Mincha Marv, and please, if you could enable my mother to live to 120. I promise you, I'll come to Shul anyway. Promise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to do anything to my mother to guarantee that I'll come to Shul. I promise you, I'll come anyway. But what was the secret of the Chofetz Chaim? That his whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he made it tangible. He always said, what am I going to tell him? He's going to ask me a question on this. What am I going to answer him? And that's how he became a Chofetz Chaim. That his relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he gave mashalim and parables to make it tangible. So, boys, our time is up already. No, I thought you were going to say, no, keep on up. Everybody agrees, you saw? Right? Okay, good. So maybe just to finish, I'm going to tell you two stories with Moshe Feinstein that I want to, with that conclude, of acknowledging, of course it's what you see is important, but it's not the only thing that defines things. You don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's the most important thing. I want to tell you two stories with Moshe Feinstein, two opposite stories to a certain degree. Once he was davening Mincha, and after Mincha he was supposed to be a tzaddik in a bris. It happened very often with Moshe Feinstein. He was invited to be a tzaddik in the bris. That day, that he was supposed to be a tzaddik, so happens to be a yeshiva bach was davening Shmoneh Esrei right behind him. And that yeshiva bach, maybe he got mixed up, he thought it's Yom Kippur with Ne'ilah. And he had a Shmoneh Esrei 35 minutes. Everybody everyone went home. And Moshe is waiting, because the yeshiva bach is behind him. And Aloha is, he can't go into the Arba Amos of the Mizpah. The father of the boy who came to pick up Reb Moshe, of course, Reb Moshe, you're going to pick him up, was telling on the side to Reb Moshe, there's a bris. The people are waiting. Reb Moshe didn't move an inch. He waited till the boy behind him finished, and then he did three steps and apologized to the father profusely. He told the father, you want me to walk into a brick wall? There's a brick wall behind me. The halacha that you can't go into Alba Amis of another person by Reb Moshe was a brick wall. Let's face it, what do? In a hurry? And someone's diving behind you? Shalom balon. We're out of it. And baya. No, but there's halacha. It's halacha. You see, I walked back there for it, and nothing happened. Did the sky fall? By Reb Moshe, it was a brick wall. Because he took halacha as a reality. Rabbi, I'm going to tell you another story. And with this, I'm really going to conclude, because you got to go and I got to go. In 1975, Reb Moshe Feinstein was Masad the Gedushin of his Talmud in a very, nice place called Terrace of the Park in New York. I heard this story from the son of another Rav who was there. And the mother of the Kala's mother was crying, which is normal. If you would look carefully, you'd see it's a different kind of crying. But first of all, who looks? And second, what can you do? So everybody politely said, Mazal Tov, and went on. Fine. The mother of the Kala comes to Reb Moshe before the Chuppah and says, Rebbe, I got to speak to you. So he said, fine, after the Chuppah, we'll talk. No, I got to speak to you before the Chuppah. Okay, Makasha, what do you want to say? Not here. Please, let's go to the side room. So he went, Moshe, with this other Rav to the side room. And the mother starts crying, but Moyes Sholish. It's an unbelievable story. And she said, I thought I could keep it a secret my whole life, but I see I cannot. My daughter, who's getting married tonight to your disciple, he's a good guy, the Chasamai, excellent. My daughter is not kosher. She's not for my husband. I know that. Which halachically means, what is she? A mother doesn't lie on such a kind of night. And it's a wedding that costs them $100,000. Then, and she's crying, but Mois Sholish. My daughter's not kosher. Now, if I would have been Misada Kiddushin, it happened to me a few times in my life. You know what I would have done? What do you do in such a kind of minute? So, of course, I said, I'm going to give you a answer. If you got to decide something quick and you don't know what to do, faint. it gives you 20 minutes, I'm serious. Hatzalah, oxygen, you got 20 minutes. Today you have mobile phones, you can call up. I would call up, and when Rabbi Shela was alive, I would call Rabbi Shapira. Today I'll call up others. What do you do? Now, I know that, Lacha. But Ramesha was there. The halacha is that only two edim or a father could make a son a mamzer. That's the halacha. Ki ben asnu yakir. Right? That's the halacha. Even though logic may dictate the opposite, okay. He told her without batting a line. He didn't tell her, he said to himself, Einon emenis. She's not believed to send it. She doesn't have the credentials to stay on her child. She's a mamzer. The chassan already felt that something's happened. There was a commission. He gave a pat on the back to the chassan. On my nachayis, it's a gevaldike shidduch. And Rav Moshe, usually after the chuppah, would go home. Otherwise, how did he become Rav Moshe? That wedding, he stayed till the very end, till 2 o'clock in the morning, to give it its hechsher. What do regular people think when they hear this story? They develop a speech impediment. She's not lying. Aren't you going to check into it? Are you just going to ignore? Should you ask the husband? Are you going to do something about it? Or just ignore it? Ramesha says, I'm going to ignore it because according to the Torah that we got from Sinai, a mother doesn't have that credibility to say the child is a mamzer. Shalom v'zel. That's the koyach of Chanukah. I see something. As long as it doesn't contradict what our Torah says, fine. But once the Torah told me how to look at it, so I wear the glasses of Torah, and that's it. Two opposite stories about Rav Moshe. Alba'am is going backwards. It's a wall. I can't walk into a wall. A mother crying on that night, and Rav Moshe says, "Einan emenis." I want to ask the Oilam here who are married. Did you get a pat on the back from Gadol Hador when you got married? That it's a good shidduch? I'm sure it is. But did you get a pat on the back? That guy got a pat on the back. Rav Moshe said, "On my nachayis, it's a good shidduch." And I'm sure we're still struggling with it. But she's not lying. You don't lie in that kind of case. That's what Chanukah is about, Chavre. Chanukah is about that we understand that there's so much more than what meets the eye. How do you work out the contradiction? What you see is what you got. Versus there's more than what meets the eye. I got a simple answer. I don't know if it's a good one. What you see is what you got is the influence of Yavan. There's a lot more than what meets the eye is the influence of Am Yisrael. We all know that there's a world in front of us, but Chazal called it Olam HaSheker. It's misleading. It's impressive. It's colorful. It looks good. A big gvir walks into the shul. People start doing it with their hands like this. You notice? Do you know how much he has in the bank in Switzerland? Do you know how many millions this guy has? By the way, a friend of mine once asked the guy who said, he has 50 million. Where? In the bank in Switzerland. How many children does he have? Children? 3, 4, 5? I don't know. Manya, the children he doesn't hide, you don't know. And the money that he's hiding in Switzerland, you do know. So it's like, more manya. Right? Okay, but a big bear walks in. Huh. And then walks in a big Tamil Chacham. Who is he collecting for? What is he for? my friend David Schnell, when he was in Chicago at the age of 4 years old in 1963, his father suddenly gave him a patch, 1962. He asked his Abba, why did you give me a patch? Did I do anything wrong? No. So why do you give me a patch? You see the door, the man with the white beard in the door? Yeah? That's Rav Aaron Kotler. Yeah? I don't want you ever to forget that you saw Rav Aaron Kotler. Now you could argue you should have given $5,000 instead, $10, not a patch. Agree. But by this father, seeing Rav Aaron Kotler, don't forget you saw Rav Aaron. Don't forget. He looked like a regular Yid, but he's Rav Aaron. The whole Olam of Torah of America was built because of him. Don't forget you saw him. That's a koyach to understand that a Talmud Chacham, even though he doesn't look so different, he's something else, but you don't see it with your eyes. But if it'll be a popular singer or the best football player walking around the streets, yeah, that's the world that we live in. Remember Chanukah saying, that's what Yotman said. Try to fight this Hashba. Rabbi said, we should all be Zoyche, and Mirz Hashem, to try to a little bit internalize this and understand an hour of Torah is so valuable. It's so precious. It should be so easy to cancel a chavrusa. Would you cancel a meeting that you could get on at 500 pounds? No. So don't cancel. An hour of Torah is worth 500 pounds, I promise you. David HaMelech says, I'll face it over kesef. But it's not as tangible, and you can't pay the bill of the grocery store with that hour. I agree. But you'll come to Olam Haba, and you're going to see what's waiting you there for that hour of Torah. You don't see it there, but it's so much there. V'samu Torah k'neged kulam. Rabbi Yisrael, we'll stop here, and I want to wish all of us a lichtike Chanukah, a good chodesh, and Yitz Hashem, we should be zeicha to really internalize what this unbelievable moed has to tell us. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you very much to Rabbi Hartman. There will be now a compulsory hour learning seder. Okay. Firstly, again, thank you very much, Rabbi Hartman, for coming up just for the not even 24 hours. A massive thank you goes to people that helped us this evening, to PBM. To help get this the evening set up. I'll mention a few of them by name because I think they deserve mentioning. Yossi Goldberg, Dovin Nissenbaum, Zevi Brody, Gershi Rose, Oshi Klein, Michi Hoch, Michael Friedman, David Ziskin, and Joel Debson. Thank you very, very much. And all the others as well that did work behind the scenes. So thank you. Just to let you know, two other things. Please feel free to take home the Mari Makoma sheet, and there will now be a Mariv at the back of the hall while we clear up.
I have a left with